Hi, I'm Luke, and I'm the founding partner of the Mission Wealth Management Group at UBS, where we work with entrepreneurs of growth companies. I have always had a deep level of respect for entrepreneurs, how they have had such bold ideas, risked everything to see it through. For the better part of the past 20 years, I have made it my mission to meet, learn from, and work with passionate entrepreneurs, and have had a blast doing so. The purpose of this podcast is to showcase various entrepreneurs who have given me inspiration, allowing us to peek inside their minds and to learn what has caused them to create these businesses, share the highs and lows they've experienced, and learn where they draw their inspiration. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Entrepreneurial Insights with Luke Irvin at UBS. Today, we have the distinct pleasure of talking to Heather Moyer, President and CEO of H&M Systems, a staffing and consulting firm, and a two-time Inc. 5000 list for fastest growing private companies award recipient, as well as multiple accolades here from the San Diego Business Journal for fastest growing medium-sized private businesses. Also, a mother of two adorable kids that I can attest to, and a wife of a first responder. So I don't know what you prefer to hang your hat on, but you've got a lot of compliments right there. So thank you very much for joining us today, Heather.
Thank you, Luke, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So if you can, just share with our listeners a little bit about H&M, the company that you started, your journey to get to where you are, why you started the company, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Great. Well, thanks for the opportunity. So H&M Systems, similar to a staffing and consulting company, we provide direct hire, contract to hire, and temporary placement services in the telecommunications, utilities, and IT sectors. And we also provide high-level consulting services as it relates to commercial wireless systems nationwide. So right now, the business operates in 26 of the 50 states. I do believe and have my sights set on all 50 states in the next 3 years. And similarly, as you mentioned, we've been in business for 10 years this April.
Great.
It's a really unique story how the business got started. I was working as the president of another local staffing company here in San Diego. And we were focused in the automotive finance arena. And in that role, I had customers similarly all over the United States. And I happened to be flying into SFO. And as anyone who has flown in SFO probably has had this experience, ended up getting fogged in one evening and chatted up with an electrical and mechanical engineer from Stanford, who started telling me all about these new wireless systems, which are lovingly referred to as distributed antenna systems and commercial Wi-Fi systems. And essentially, he kind of just taught me some things about the backbone of mobility and how wireless was the future. And 4 hours fogged in and lots of conversation later, he had my interest piqued about the industry and a potential partnership. And so those conversations continued over the next 12 months. And ultimately, he somehow convinced me to leave my cushy job, take less than a third of my existing salary. And so as the entrepreneurial journey goes, start the business from the first floor of my townhome at 8 Top Roman.
Wow, that is a very serendipitous situation there, being at fogged in at SFO.
Absolutely.
And the staffing component of your business in the consulting portion, that seems a little unique. And I see some of the areas that the consulting part of the business operates in, 5G, smart grid, cloud, e-commerce. I mean, these are all very hot sectors of the market or the economy. How did you delineate the staffing versus the consulting? Which is the faster growing of the two? How do you focus on those two separate and distinct areas?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I started the business, ultimately, my vision was that we would be a consulting company so that we would do the design, the deployment, the installation, and the maintenance and monitoring of the systems. What I found pretty quickly was that although there was a great market for that, there was also a great market for this contract-to-hire delivery model from a staff augmentation perspective. So we started self-performing on the consulting side. And in a lot of ways, that was the reason I received a lot of staffing contracts, because we could self-perform. But once we got into those Fortune 5000 or even Fortune 1000 companies, they wanted both turnkey consulting services and staff augmentation and direct hire services. So it really married very well together, although that wasn't my initial vision for the company. It's something that really has been very successful. To answer your question about which part of the business is growing faster, the staffing side of the business represents more of our revenue currently. I would say there's a lot of continued growth on both sides of the business, and particularly recently around the outside plant engineering component. For all of the wireless systems to work, you have to be connected to a fiber backbone and have a strong fiber backhaul. And so we have an in-house consulting team that does a lot of that outside plant engineering as well.
Mm-hmm. And on the staffing, from the staffing point of view, obviously the last year plus of our lives, we've all been locked down, you know, due to this pandemic. So the usual, how I would imagine that the staffing industry, I'm sure it kind of got turned on its head, right? You can't do in-person interviews, or not as much at least. So how did you have to pivot or change because of the pandemic with the staffing business, and you know, where do you see it going from here?
Absolutely. What a year it has been, a year plus to your point. Our business has changed in the way that it functions, I would say almost to 180 degrees as it relates to what our process is. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But what I will say is, I think one of the reasons that I started this company is that I am so passionate about people. You know, our number one core value for the company is to be relentlessly people driven. And I really saw an opportunity to create a staffing company that is a home base for folks who have a specific skill set and need a home type consulting company. So as soon as I opened the business, and this was something that was very uncommon 10 years ago, I was giving my contract employees, and they're my W-2 contract employees, but I was giving my contract employees medical benefits, 401k match, paid time off, and all those types of things. So it was really important to me that, you know, I was representing our number one company core value, which is relentlessly people driven. You know, fast forward 9 years, here comes a global pandemic, and what an opportunity to put your money where your mouth is, right? So how relentlessly people driven were we going to be in a time where, you know, we were building these wireless systems in 26 states. So we're now managing people in 26 states. We are at a stay at home order. People can't work. People can't build. The cities aren't permitting, you know, and I really had to look at myself in the mirror and say, okay, Heather, are you relentlessly people driven? Are you going to retain 100% of your staff? Are you going to get access to that PPP? Are you going to do everything it takes? And I'll tell you, I must have worked, and my whole team did, but we must have worked 15 to 17 hours a day in those first 45 days to make sure that our people were taken care of, that they were going to get paid, that they weren't going to get laid off, and that we were going to identify new opportunities for them. So I'm really proud of the way that we showed up as an organization, both to our employees and also to our customers. We really got a lot of feedback around being the only supplier who called our customers and said, literally, what can we do for you? This is a hard time. I don't need anything from you. I'm not asking for more business, but Mr. or Mrs. Customer, how can we show up for you? How can we be a partner? And it was so shocking to me that we were one of the only suppliers that did that, but we got that feedback time and time again. So once we were kind of away from the stay-at-home order, or things started to loosen up a little bit, we looked at our current process and said, okay, we can't interview in person. We are not sure what the project pipeline is going to look like. We don't know if we can permit. And we really created a strategy one-on-one with each customer that we supported and said, okay, what can we do for the next 30, 60, 90, 120 days to keep people working, to recruit talent that we wouldn't have otherwise had access to because they're getting laid off. And typically, no matter what, it's very difficult to find an A player. And how are we going to retain our A players? Because they're going to start to get poached by other organizations who are looking at this opportunity like ours. So Luke, it was really an opportunity for me to shift as a leader from a fear and scarcity mindset to abundance and gratitude and partnership. And I would say that probably was the biggest success of last year for our whole organization.
Absolutely. Sounds like you've been a great wartime CEO. So I applaud you for that.
I hope so.
Now, going further back in time, when you kind of reflect on since that encounter in the SFO for your readers that are not here in the West Coast, that's San Francisco. Okay. But since that that encounter in the airport there in San Francisco. What does that journey look like? What are some of the big challenges that you had? And like you said, you take a big leap of faith, right? You know, taking a substantial pay cut, you know, and big leap of faith and starting this venture. So what were some of those initial roadblocks, those initial hurdles that you had to overcome, and how did you overcome those?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. The first thing that was most difficult for me was when I left the staffing company that I was running, I was absolutely committed to not taking any of my customers with me. You know, I had a really good relationship with that CEO. I respected her. She had mentored me and quote unquote grew me up. And I didn't think that that was something that, you know, I was willing to do and not something I would want somebody to do to me. So I started over in an industry. I didn't have any contacts and I wasn't willing to leverage my previous customers. So in so many ways, I started over. And I often tell individuals that I mentor, the first day I got out my big yellow pad of paper and I wrote down the name of everybody who had championed me at some point in my life. And I had, you know, a whole page of names of people who I trusted, respected, and who believed in me. And I just started calling them and telling them what I was doing and asking them, what do you know about telecommunications? Do you have anybody in the industry? Is your mom, sister, brother, waitress, nail salon specialist? You know, does anybody know anything that they could share with me? And from those initial calls, you know, I got a lot of really good warm leads for conversations that were able to educate me. But really the inflection point for the business was a cold call that I made. So in our business, Crown Castle, which is the largest tower owner and operator in the world, really at that point, and I would argue really is still kind of the center of the ecosystem of the wireless industry. There was one of their directors had given a speech on the distributed antenna system model and the small cell model. And I just happened to read about it and just picked up the phone to call him to have a discussion about this distributed antenna and small cell system program that he was deploying. And because I had positioned the business as a niche supplier in that space, and because I did my homework before I picked up the phone, there really was a great opportunity there to connect with him authentically and to get him to listen to what potentially we could offer them as a business. And so it's hard to get into a Fortune 1000 or Fortune 5000 company, but he was open and he ended up connecting me with the right people within the organization. And ultimately they said, okay, you know, we'll give you an opportunity if you can perform on this one project. You know, we'll think about giving you a master services agreement. Well, that one project off of that one cold call happened to be Disney World. And so, you know, 3,000 access points, and 3 years later with a team of 26 people, you know, we really crushed that project. And that customer is still one of our biggest customers and greatest partners.
Absolutely. So safe to say that, you know, the good old fashioned cold call led to kind of a lot of your success at this point. And I guess also looking down the pipe, you get the kind of wind at your back, right? With the rollout of 5G and some of these other things that you guys are very well positioned to take advantage of.
Yeah, I think go-to-market strategy is huge as an entrepreneur. You know, you have to understand who you are, who you serve, why you do those things, and how you're going to approach the delivery of all those things. And I think if you have a solid go-to-market strategy and you hire the right people, there's a lot of data around your first 4 to 5 hires in a business. I think if you really do a good job and hire those right people at the beginning of the business, it really sky's the limit, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So what have been some of the challenges that you faced in starting the business? Was it securing funding, or you're in the staffing industry, so I'm guessing that part kind of came natural to you, but getting the right team around you, you know, what are some of those things that you can share with our listeners that entrepreneurs need to be cognizant of or prepared for?
Yeah, so funding is a challenge. Actually, last I checked, less than 1% of women businesses received venture capitalist funding. So that was definitely a challenge. The individual that I had mentioned that I met with SFO, the deal was that he would be the capital arm and I would be the workhorse. And so that really was pivotal in getting me started. That was key. As the business grew and we were profitable and didn't need capital, I really did my best to invest 80% of our profits back into the business, into growth and into research and development so that we could remain healthy. And, you know, the business has been in the black since month four. And that's one of the things I'm most proud of. And one of the reasons that I was able to, you know, keep the business afloat over these last 14 months. So, you know, just probably one of the best decisions that I made. And it was mentorship and advice and feedback I had gotten from the previous owner that I had worked for around how important it was to be financially responsible in the business to create and create a successful business.
Absolutely. And so when we first got started here, I rattled off the Inc. 5000, the Syndicate Business Journal, medium-sized business, one of the fastest growing mid-sized businesses here in San Diego that's private. But if you put those kind of awards aside, what would you look at and see? Some, well, you've listed some other ones, right? Being profitable since month four, but what are some of some successes that you hang your hat on that you can look at and kind of wear as a badge of honor?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. The things that I hold near and dear are those letters that I get, those emails that I get, or those phone calls and messages that I get from our employees who are working for us all over the country. The ones that say, hey, for placing me and taking an opportunity on me, you have improved my quality of life and my ability to provide for my family and my children. Or, you know, Heather and team, I've never worked for a better organization. I've never experienced this level of service and true authenticity and care, and I will be your forever customer. So those are some of the things that I am most proud of and that I feel good about when I look at the business. We had one explosive growth year, must have been 20, well, we've grown revenue 25 times since we opened the business. So it's been very successful. But either 2018 or 2019, when we did the statistics and the data on where our growth came from, it turned out that 43% of our revenue increase, which I think represented roughly $5 million in revenue, came from referrals from our existing employees. So, you know, the 150 people that work for us nationwide, most of them never meet me and often don't meet our staff in person. They only interact with us on video or on the phone, so on and so forth. So for 43% of those folks who maybe have never shook my hand to bring us that type of business and that scale of business was such a huge win and success for me, because for me, that was really representative that as a business, we were living out our core values.
Absolutely. It goes back to your kind of core principle of relentlessly people driven, right?
That's right.
Testament to what you guys are doing there. Now, switching gears a little bit, you know, it is currently Women's History Month, right? And you know, you're one of the higher profile female entrepreneurs here in town. As a working mother, how are you able to juggle the demands of not just running a business, but running a very high functioning business and raising two children? And I know you're married to a first responder. How do you juggle all these at the same time?
I think it depends on who you ask, whether or not I do it well. For me, it's all about quality of time and really, when I'm with my children, being with them. And that was advice I got probably 5, maybe even 10 years ago, where one of my mentors told me 2 hours of quality interaction with your husband or your children is better than 20 hours of distracted time with your husband and your children. So my husband and I have created some fun things like the no phone zone in the bedroom, or, you know, things that we do with our children where we totally disconnect. I also personally take 3 to 4 days every single year where I turn off my phone. The only person that I communicate with is my husband and my children. And I just reconnect with nature and myself. And I had create an opportunity for me to really just dig into my own vision and innovation and creativity. So I think those things really keep me centered and grounded, and just being really intentional about the time that I do spend with my children, with my husband, and with my friends and family.
That's excellent advice. That's something I, you know, being a father of 2 little kids as well, I think I could benefit from greatly, is that idea of being present. Yeah, you know, just the phone, all the technology, everything is, you know, that we have at our disposal nowadays can just add a lot of clutter, maybe not physically, but to our mental space, right?
Absolutely. And it's so interesting because the children experience you so much more deeply in those moments where you're looking into their eyes and seeing who they are and how they're growing. And I think that's really beautiful.
Absolutely. Have you had to do much homeschooling this past year?
Yes, we did quite a bit of homeschooling. I have to give my husband credit. As you mentioned, he's a firefighter paramedic. And so his schedule is that he is ultimately on duty 3 days a week, but off duty 4 days. And so he has the opportunity to really spend time during the day with the kids. I can't imagine what it would have been like for us had we not had that opportunity. But he has done a great job with both of our kids. Thankfully, both of my children are back in some type of schooling system. And they're interacting with their friends and, you know, the outside world. And that's been a gift as well.
Absolutely. So where do you draw inspirations or what words of wisdom could you offer to the other entrepreneurs that might be listening to this or aspiring business owners to help them stay on track and really try to see their dream come to fruition or their vision come to fruition like you have with yours?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I have come to in the last 12 months that I wish I would have learned 10 years ago, but am incredibly grateful for, you know, coming into this in this past year, is a stronger confidence and belief in myself. And, you know, that's probably funny to hear as you're listening to the podcast. Oh, well, you created this business and, you know, two-time company president, so on and so forth. But, you know, we all have our own set of self-doubt and limiting beliefs. And I think over the last 12 months, and you mentioned, you know, wartime CEO, I think how I've been able to show up in the business for the people that work here, I really have recognized and realized that I have a great strength to create and to serve our community, both in wireless and wireline and IT. And really just believing in myself and my abilities to develop other people and create opportunity has been what's been most impactful for me in this past year. I will say also in this past year, I have read more books, you know, in this past year than I've probably read in 10 years. And I'm a big reader, so that's pretty significant. You know, I think I'm reading at least a book, maybe two a week right now. And so that has reignited a lot of excitement and innovation inside of my brain and in my leadership team. So that's been really great. And then being organized and thoughtful about what you're trying to achieve. So don't get distracted.
Absolutely. And so what does the future have for you and H&M? What's what are you guys working on? Or what are you looking back in 5 years? Where do you want to see things?
Yeah, my goal is to continue to grow the business really significantly. You know, that's the vision for us, the BHAG, as us entrepreneurs so often like to call it, the big, hairy, audacious goal, is that the organization will be providing impactful, life-changing services in all 50 states. Personally, I have a personal goal of positively impacting 1% of the population or 3 million lives. And that doesn't mean that necessarily all 3 million of those people have to work for us. But in some way, I want to have improved the quality of life of 3 million people. And really just creating an environment where I can develop, grow, inspire, and serve my team.
Okay, that's great. That is a very audacious goal, so I applaud you for that.
Just a few million people.
That's right, just a few million. Well, how can people get a hold of you to learn more and keep tabs on you and H&M?
Yeah, absolutely. So please come visit our website. We're at www.hnmsystems.com, or you can find us on LinkedIn, similarly, H&M Systems, Inc. We would love to have you follow us and reach out, connect with us, and if you're someone who is looking to make a change or just get some advice, my team offers free career counseling. So we'd love to talk with you.
That's great. Well, Heather, thank you so much. Been a pleasure. Love seeing the success that you've had and that I know is in front of you. So thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Grateful to be here. Thank you, Luke.
I really enjoyed having Heather on today. I've loved watching her over the years keep kicking tail and growing one heck of a business. The company's mission statement of being relentlessly people-driven is a fantastic one. Let's face it, whether you're selling vacuum cleaners or staffing and consulting services, you are not the only game out there. We, as people, work with, you guessed it, other people. So if you can treat your people, think employees and customers, clients, vendors, etc., in a manner in which makes them feel special, then you have a customer for life. And also, like Heather said, with 43% of her business coming from referrals, they will probably send more people to you. That right there is what Warren Buffett would consider a moat. It reminds me of a quote from Gregory Scott Reed, an author and motivational speaker. He says, "The greatest success we'll know is helping others succeed and grow." So with that, thank you. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining us on Entrepreneurial Insights. If you have enjoyed this, please rate and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. Email us at missionwealth@ubs.com with comments or suggestions. Visit our website at ubs.com/team/missionwealth, or connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter at Luke S.W. Irvin. You've been listening to Entrepreneurial Insights with Luke Irvin at UBS.